Shalom Aleichem. We're going to discuss the question of Shailat Geshamim. Namely, when we begin asking for rain in Eretz Yisrael and also other countries, and on what date at the beginning of the winter do we begin asking for rain? So first of all, what is the standard practice that most people follow nowadays? Most people nowadays follow the standard practice of saying Hazkarat Geshamim. We'll explain these two terms in a moment. Hazkarat Geshamim, starting on Shmini Aseret, right in Musaf, last day of Sukkot, or the day after Sukkot, really. But when it comes to She'ilat Geshamim, asking for rain, as opposed to just mentioning that Hashem causes the rain to fall, they begin doing this on Zayin B'Mar Heshwan, the seventh day of Heshwan, in Eretz Yisrael, and in Chutz La'aretz, the correct date is 60 days after Tekufat Tishrei, which is actually the 5th of December. It doesn't go by the Jewish date, it goes by the non-Jewish date, actually. And that date now is the 5th of December. 100 years ago it was the 4th of December, now it's the 5th of December. So first, just to keep everything in perspective, let us explain the terminologies. There is Hazkarat Geshamim and there is She'ilat Geshamim. Hazkarat Geshamim means to mention, Hazkir, by which we refer to what we say in the second Baracha of Shmone Esrei, where we say Mashiv Haruach Umrit HaGeshem. That's called Hazkarat Geshamim. And that's mentioned in the first Mishnah Masechet, Ta'aniyot.
Does Kara mean mention?
Naskir means to mention, correct. The first Mishnah Masechet Ta'aniyot reads as follows. Me Matai Mazkirim Gevurot Geshamim. When do we begin to mention Gevurot Geshamim? Rabbi Eliezer Omer Miyom Tov HaRishon Shehav. From the first day of Sukkot we already begin to say Mashiv HaRuach Umrit HaGeshem. Rabbi Yoshua Omer Miyom Tov HaAharon Shehav. From the last day, the last Yom Tov, which is Shmini Aseret. That's the Mishnah, the beginning of Ta'aniyot. There's also a Mishnah in Masechet Berachot, Perek Hey, where it says Mazkirim Gevurot Geshamim B'Tchiyat Hametim U'Sheila B'Virkat HaShanim, that we say Hazkarat Geshamim in the second bracha and Sheilat Geshamim in the bracha known as Birkat HaShanim. It's very important to keep these two concepts clear and distinct in our minds, Sheilat Geshamim and Hazkarat Geshamim, because when one does not keep this distinction in mind, then everything becomes very foggy and unclear. It seems, in fact, that there was some confusion. It's very strange, but it seems from the Talmud Bavli, some of the discussions in the Talmud Bavli at the beginning of Masechet Ta'aniyot seem to indicate that there was such a confusion even in the Batei Midrash in Bavel. In the Talmudic period there also seems to have been some confusion on this point. So, with regards to Mazkirim Gevurot Geshamim, when we start to say Mashiv HaRuach Umrit HaGeshem, there is in fact no machloket. Everyone agrees that we start saying this on the second bracha of Shmini Aseret. We begin to say this on Shmini Aseret from Musaf onwards. Right? This is agreed to by all. The halacha lemaaseh, this is agreed to by all. That's the view of Rabbi Yeshua. And later another Mishnah appears in the name of Rabbi Yehuda. And there's no discussion about this. With regards to She'ilat Geshamim, here we have an entirely different discussion. What are the options of when one can say She'ilat Geshamim? In other words, from what day one begins or one should begin to say this? Regarding this, we have a Mishnah in the in Perek Aleph, also of Taniyot, Halacha Gimel, which states as follows. B'shalosha b'mar Heshwan shalim et ha-geshamim. Mishnah states, and we know for two reasons that this is the view of Rabbi Meir, even though it's a Stam Mishnah. We know this because, first of all, Stam Mishnah is usually Rabbi Meir, and second of all, it's quoted explicitly in the name of Rabbi Meir in the Yerushalmi. B'shalosha b'mar Heshwan shalim et ha-geshamim. Rabban Gamliel omer, b'shim'a bo, on the 7th of Mar Heshwan. Hamisha asar yom ahar hehar kade sheyagia aharon sheb'Yisrael ninahar paraf. 15 days. He explains, why did I choose the 7th, why not the 8th, the 6th? Because that is gives 15 days for people to return from Yerushalayim who came on Aliyah LaRegel from the end of the Chag to get back to Nahar Parath in Bavel, which is where there was a large concentration of Jews, and this was considered a sufficient time to give all people, all the Oler Galim who came to Yerushalayim from Bavel, this gave them sufficient time to return to their homes and not be caught on the way by rain, by storms, which would bog them down in the mud and cause them great hardship, etc., getting home. So there's no question that Rabban Gamliel is telling us that the reason I chose this date, Shira al-Mar Heshwan, is not because that's the weather pattern in Eretz Yisrael, or that is the agricultural requirement, or that's what we need here in Eretz Yisrael. In fact, he's implying quite clearly we would begin earlier were it not for the fact that we don't want to pray for rain and have our prayers answered when our brethren are returning to Bavel on their camels and their donkeys and their caravans, etc. And it's a fairly long journey, and if it rains, it makes things very difficult indeed. It could even perhaps lead to situations of sakanat nefashot, being bogged down, maybe not having food, all sorts of things of this nature. So we wait till the 7th of Mar Heshwan. So that it's clear that what the rationale behind the view of Rabban Gamliel is. As for the first opinion, which we explained is Rabbi Meir, which says B'shlosha Mar Heshwan, which is only 4 days earlier, one might think that here it's not the same rationale. Here it's simply the right date to begin, the 3rd of Mar Heshwan. Why? Because that's when it's reasonable to begin the rain to fall, shall we say, in Eretz Yisrael. But we see from the sugya that we're about to look at in the Talmud Bavli and the Talmud Yerushalmi, we see this is not the case. Now, what I'm going to do now is just give it to you briefly, Baal Peh, and then we'll look at some of the sources inside. What we see in the sugya is that both Rabbi Meir, who was a Tanakama in our Mishnah, and Rabban Gamliel, they both hold that what we're saying, whether it's Gimel or Zayin Mar Heshwan, is because of Oler Galim. It has to do with the fact that there are people who are returning home. And that's why we hold off from saying Shilat Geshamim before this date. I'll read to you the Pirush of the Ritba, for example. He says, Pirush ben Lethanakama. This is the Ritba on the Mishnah in Ta'aniyoth, Daf Yod Amud Aleph. Pirush ben Lethanakama, ben Rabban Gamliel, Mishnathenu Bezman Shebet HaMikdash Kayam. They both are discussing a time when the Beit Mikdash is standing, and therefore you have Oler Galim, people coming to Yerushalayim for the Chag. This Mishnah is Bizman Shebet HaMikdash Kayam Hi Shinuya Ulechule Alama Zman Geshamim Hu Laharehav. In other words, everyone admits that Zman Geshamim is already considered the proper Zman to ask for rain immediately after Sukkot. In other words, from Arvith of Mosei Shmini Aseret. The first Tfilath Hol that you would say after the Chag, which would be Arvith of Mosei Shmini Aseret, would already be a proper time to start asking for Geshem. I'm talking about Sheirat Geshamim. Right? Maskirim Geshamim, we mentioned before, which is to say Mashiv Aruch Mila Geshem. Everyone agrees you really begin saying from Musaf of Shmini Aseret during the day. We're talking now about when you add in she'elat in Birkat Hashanim, when you add she'ela, which according to the Nusach of Eretz Yisrael, you say uvarech shenatenu b'chishmer ason b'racha unadava, and according to the Bavli Nusach, you say within talum matalik v'racha, etc. When do you begin to say that? So the Ritva says, both Rabban Gamliel, who says Zayin, and the Tanakhama, who is Rabbi Meir, who says Gimel b'macheshvan, they both agree that really we should be starting to do this immediately after the Chag. Ela de bezman shebet ha-mikdash kayam ha-shen al-ore regalim shelo ya'asrem ha-geshim b'chazaratam. When imset machshilam le'afid lavo, if they would be bogged down by terrible weather on the way back, they may not want to come next time to Yerushalayim for the Chag because of the terrible experience of getting back. That's what he means when he says when imset machshilam le'afid lavo. V'Rabban Gamliel ha-yesh lechulho ole regalim wa'afilu l'aharon shebahem. The difference, therefore, between the Tanakhama and Rabban Gamliel is that Rabban Gamliel says, I give them another 4 days so that even the slower travels, the last of them will get home before we start asking for rain. Whereas Rabbi Meir, the Tanakhama, says, Gimel b'mar heshwan. He says the vast majority, 95%, have already got home. And for the last 5%, we're not going to wait, because we also have our issues over here. We need rain. And it's a very practical issue. It's a very real issue. People sowed their fields in Eretz Yisrael with wheat, depending on the part of the country, sometimes already in Tishrei. And there was sometimes already the beginning of Tishrei, before Rosh Hashanah, sometimes even before Rosh Hashanah in some places. But usually, at that time, the end of Tishrei, it will be the time, or around Rosh Chodesh Mar Heshwan, will be the time for sowing the fields. And if the seeds sit in the earth for too long without any rain, they'll just rot and nothing will come of them. Then they'll have to sow again. So we want, and we very much need it to rain within a relatively short period after the sowing of the seeds in the ground. So Rabbi Meir, who says, Gimel Mar Heshwan, says, we waited for 95% of them, that's enough. We did the best we can do for them. Rabban Gamliel says we can wait another 4 days. That's the difference. Now they're both near Eretz Yisrael. Neither of them are Bavliim. They're both near Eretz Yisrael, but they're taking into account the fact that there are many large numbers of Olei Regalim every year, every Chag, coming to Yerushalayim. What becomes apparent from the discussion of the Gemara in both in the Talmud Bavli and in the Talmud Yerushalmi is that this Mishnah is referring to a time, as the Ritva just explained to us, when the Beit Mikdash stands, and there is a Mikdash, and therefore there are Olei Regalim. But when there are no Olei Regalim, then the picture changes. Where do we find this? If we look on Daf Yod Amud Aleph in the Talmud Bavli, where this Mishnah appears in Tanyot, then all we are told on this Mishnah that we just read is that Amar Rabbi Elazar, there's also another Gisa which says Amar Rav Hista, Halacha Karabban Gamliel, that the Halacha is that you wait till Zayin Amar Heshwan. And that's it. That's all it says, really. That's more or less what's relevant to our discussion. There is another statement which is somewhat relevant, and that is the statement of Hananya, who was a Tana who went to Bavel, and he made certain takanoth and instructed the Jews in Bavel, this is a fairly early period still, how to conduct themselves in the Gola, in Bavel. He said, the situation in Bavel is different, the agricultural cycle is different, the weather patterns are different, and in fact it's not helpful at all for them to have rain before, for a lot, it's better not to have rain for a lot much longer period. So he said, Uvagola ad shishim batkufa, which that's the date we mentioned, the 5th of December. And this is the halacha in Bavel. It's a separate discussion, interesting discussion in itself. What should be done in other countries outside Eretz Yisrael, which are not Bavel, and which are not similar to Bavel in their agricultural and weather patterns and requirements, whether you should be following the Shivah Bemar Heshwan or Shishim Yom Batkufa, which is the 5th of December. And here we find different opinions amongst the Rishonim. Some say that we follow the practice of Bavel, we wait till Shishim Yom Batkufa, which is the 5th of December. And others say that's only for Bavel, where that fitted their requirements and their situation. Our situation is different, and therefore we should start asking for Rebbe B'Zayin Mar Heshwan. So says the Rosh Lemashal. He says the Rosh asks on this very sugya. He says I don't understand why most people in most places start asking for Rebbe B'Zayin Mar Heshwan only Shishim Yom Batkufa, the 5th of December. When in fact we live in an area where rain is definitely required earlier, so says the Rosh, and this is in Siman Dalet, Perekal of Siman Dalet, and he says, "Why do we behave as if we're in Bavel? We're not in Bavel, and our requirements are different." So I'm not going to read every word. I just get to the punchline. Hadavar yadua, he says, it's well known here in Europe, right, where he lived. Im lo haya matar yored ad shishim latkufa, haya hazera aved, that the fields that were sown, if there was not to rain till that day, till the 5th of December, shishim yom batkufa, that all the seeds that were sown in the fields would be lost. Walama lo naaseka mishnatenu, therefore we should act in accordance to the Mishnah. And he says, and when I once travelled, he says, Provencia, in Provence, the south of France, the Rosh is from Ashkenaz, from Germany. I saw that their minhag is in fact to do it b'zayin b'mar heshwan, and this is very correct in my opinion. So says the Rosh, as opposed to some other Rishonim, as I said, who suggested that no, we follow the practice of Bavel in all matters. The Meiri also, who was from Provence, relates to this issue, and he brings three opinions about when people in Chutz La'aretz should start asking Shelat Geshamim. He says, "Yesh mekomot shenagu shelo lishol ad shishim batkufa," and he says exactly why. "Mipnei shekol minhagenu k'minhag b'nei Bavel," which is a very straightforward statement and also an admission. In other words, it's not just in this regard either. It's a general statement, which, even though he maybe doesn't mean in a general sense, but it's a general statement which is true for many things, that many of the practices of Jews in Chutz La'aretz over a long, very long period of time were actually simply a continuation of Minhage Bavel, even though they didn't always fit the reality in France or in Spain or in North Africa or wherever it may have been. That's one opinion. In other words, we should only follow the minhagim of Bavel when they also fit where we live, but we live in a different place and our requirements are different, and therefore we should ask on Zayin B'mar Heshwan. And he says, this is the practice in all our, where we, in our area in Provence, which is exactly what the Rosh was telling us. The third opinion, he says, is immediately Motzei Yom Tov, in other words, the end of Shmini Aseret, mipnei shehu posek kerashbag she'amar b'zayin mechashban v'lo ya rashbag omer zayin mechashban ela mipnei olei regalim v'achshav she'en lanu olei regalim af hu shoel techef Motzei Yom Tov. So we have these three possibilities. The third possibility is that the first was Shishim Yom Batkufa, the 5th of December, which is only reasonable, only makes sense for certain places like such as Bavel, but most countries not like Bavel. The other opinion, the second opinion, was Zayin B'mar Heshwan, and the third opinion was immediately on the night following Shmini Aseret. The point that we're trying to make here tonight is to prove and to demonstrate that this third opinion is without a doubt the correct opinion. Why do I say it's without a doubt the correct opinion? The fact of the matter is that both Talmudim actually say so. It's a very strange thing indeed, really, when you think about it, to find a situation where both Talmudim actually make a statement, quite unambiguous and clear-cut statement, and yet you find that many halachic practices don't fit what the both Talmudim are telling you. In the Talmud Bavli, we find this discussion. This matter is discussed not so much on the Mishnah on Daf Yod, but actually previously on Daf Dalet Amud Beth. Why is it discussed on Daf Dalet Amud Beth? Because the Gemara raises the issue that we seem to have a problem with the opinion of Rabbi Yehuda. Why? Because on the one hand, Rabbi Yehuda says, it's quoted in the name of Rabbi Yehuda, the switch over when it comes to Hazkara is always on Tfilat Musaf, and with regards to Sukkot, it's the last day of Sukkot, or Shmini Aseret, and with regards to Pesach, it's the first day of Pesach. So we begin saying Mashiv Arachim Lidageshim on Musaf of Shmini Aseret, and we cease saying that and switch to the Musaf HaRet, he says Mashiv Arachim Lid Hatal, or just Murid Hatal, or just not saying anything at all, which is also a possibility, because there's no requirement, there's no chovah to say Murid Hatal, as there is to say Mashiv Arachim Lid Hageshim. To cease saying Lazkir Geshim from the first day of Pesach, which is perfectly all right. The trouble is that Rabbi Yehuda is also quoted as saying that you continue to ask for Geshem in the Tefillah of, shall we say, during Chol HaMoed Pesach, not the first day, but during Chol HaMoed Pesach, when you have a regular Tefillah, when you say Birkat Hashanim, you have Mivorech Hashanim, that you also say you ask for rain all the way till the end of Pesach, to the last day of Pesach. So in other words, we have a rather anachronistic situation. It's not very logical that you're asking for rain, but you're not mentioning rain. In other words, you don't. Maskirim Geshamim, Haskarat Geshamim, always comes as a preface to and as something that goes together with Sherat Geshamim. But to have Sherat Geshamim without Haskarat Geshamim doesn't make sense. That's what the Talmud asks. Both Talmudim ask this question. Rabbi Yohanan explains. He gives a psak halacha when he's asked this question. He's quoted here in the Talmud Bavli as saying, Rabbi Yohanan said as follows: "Hithil lahazkir, mathil lishol." As soon as you begin to mazkir, to say Mashiv Arachim Lid Hageshim, mathil lishol. You immediately begin also to say Shirat Geshamim in Birkat Hashanim. Pasak mi lishol, pasak mi lahazkir. As soon as you cease one, you cease the other. They go together. What Rabbi Yohanan says, they always go together. When you maskir, you shu'el. When you shu'el, you maskir. So then how do we explain the fact that Rabbi Yehuda is quoted on the one hand as saying that you cease haskara on the first day, but you continue shu'el after the last day? So the only way to explain that is, in both Talmudim, again, the answer is given, that apparently there are two traditions or two statements in the name of Rabbi Yehuda, or that one of them is not really the view of Rabbi Yehuda, it's Rabbi Yehuda ben Bethera, and that's how I was confused with Rabbi Yehuda. It's a different Tana. At any rate, that can be explained one way or the other. But Rabbi Yohanan's psak halacha, unequivocal psak halacha, was Mathil azkir, hithil azkir, mathil ishol. Pasak mi lishol, posak mi lazkir. That's what Rabbi Yohanan said. That's in the Talmud Bavli. Then the Talmud Bavli asks, wait a second, don't we have a Mishnah which tells us that the times for asking Shirat Geshamim are either Shloshab Mar Heshwan or Zayim Mar Heshwan? And you, Rabbi Yochanan, are telling us that as soon as you say Haskarat Geshamim, you also begin Shirat Geshamim, which means well before Gimel Mar Heshwan. In other words, already Mosa'e Shmini Aseret, which is Leil Kaf Gimel B'Tishrei, correct? So it's well before Gimel Mar Heshwan, and Kal Vachomer well before Zayin Mar Heshwan. So the maskana of the sugya is Lakasha, kam bezman she Beit Hamidash kayam, kam bezman she in Beit Hamidash kayam. In other words, this is what Ritva explained to us before. that the Mishnah, which spoke about Shlosha b'mar Cheshwan or Shiv'a b'mar Cheshwan, was talking about a time when the Beit Midrash stands and there are Ole Regalim. Then we wait because of the Ole Regalim. We delay asking for rain, even though normally we would want to do so, but we don't because of the Ole Regalim. In that situation, in fact, there is a distinction between Zman Haskara and Zman Sheila. You begin Haskara, Haskarat Gishamim on Shmini Aseret with Musaf, but you wait to say Sheilat Gishamim till either Gimel Mar Heshwan or Zayin Mar Heshwan, because of Ole Regalim. But when there's no Ole Regalim, then the halacha is as Rabbi Yochanan told us, because he was talking really about a period after the Churban. Rabbi Yochanan said, if you say Haskarat Gishamim, you also say Sheilat Gishamim. It goes together, both at the beginning and at the end. And if you end, you cease saying Haskarat Gishamim the first day of Pesach, you also cease saying Sheilat Gishamim the first day of Pesach. This is what the Talmud says in the Talmud Bavli Daf Daled Amud Bet. The same sugya, or very similar sugya, appears also in the Talmud Yerushalmi in Taniyot Perek Aleph Halacha Bet. Perek Aleph Halacha Bet. The question was asked regarding asked of Rabbi Yochanan. It says here in the Talmud Yerushalmi a similar question. What about this problem of Rabbi Yehuda that we find him saying apparently not quite the same thing in two different places? And he said to them, "I'm telling you what the halacha is. Halacha, makom shemazkirim shoalim. When you say haskara, you also do she'ila. So as soon as you say Mashiv Ruach Mila Geshem, you also begin to say she'ilat Geshamim." Then there's a discussion, interesting discussion that is brought here in the Talmud Yerushalmi. And the Maskana, without reading the whole thing now, the Maskana again is as follows. First of all, we see during this discussion that more than one Amora, apart from Rabbi Yochanan, held the same view as Rabbi Yochanan. In other words, all the Amoraim in Eretz Yisrael post-Churban are all of the same opinion. Namely, that Makom Shemazkirim Shoalim. The question was asked, for example, of Rabbi Ze'ura. Initially he said he wasn't sure, but eventually it says in the Yerushalmi, B'sofa Ith Masayith Le, which means he was convinced and he found the right answer and he was sure of this and he said this is the halacha. He said La Shanya, no, the truth is we don't make a distinction. In other words, we start and saying both at the same time. Halacha makom shemazkirim shoalim. He goes on to say the same statement was made by Rabbi Hiya Bar Ba, also the name of Rabbi Yochanan, makom shemazkirim shoalim. And it says further that Rabbi Aha Darash Beth Midrasha. This is also was taught by Rabbi Aha in his Beit Midrash, and also by Rabbi Yirmiya, Darash B'Chnishat HaDebule, in the Beit Knesset of the Mu'esset Ha'ir, in other words, the city council. They had a shul of their own, and he gave a drasha, in which he announced this halakha to the public. He said, Halakha makom shemazkirim shoalim. So everyone agrees this is the case. All we need to do now is explain. So what about the Mishnah? Why is the Mishnah say B'Shlosha B'mar Cheshwan or B'Shiva B'mar Cheshwan? About this, the Yerushalmi says, Amar Rabbi Tanhum Bar Hiya B'Sha'at HaMikdash Shanu. That is how it should read. It says Shaneh, but it should say Shanu, apparently. And what it means is very simple. This Mishnah refers to the time the Midash stands, and not when the Midash does not exist, and therefore no Ole Regalim. So we find in both Talmudim clear statements to the effect that whatever the Mishnah was speaking about, whenever the Mishnah said that you ask for Geshem, Sheilat Geshamim begins in Mar Cheshwan, it was talking about a time when there are Ole Regalim, and when there is no Mikdash, and therefore no Ole Regalim, you begin saying Shirat Gishamim in Eretz Yisrael, at least, where it's not harmful, it's required, it's necessary, it's good, it's beneficial. You ask for rain immediately, Motzae Shmini Aseret. In Chutz La'aretz, in certain places, at least like in Bavel, for example, where it's harmful for them to have rainfall at that time, and they dafka want it to happen later, there they, in response to this different reality, they say Shirat Gishamim in a different time. So the question about other countries, as the Rosh said, that we have to go according to our reality. So in fact, the Rosh, one could only remark about the Rosh that it's possibly true. I don't know exactly what the agricultural cycle was in Germany or in Spain at the time of the Rosh, but it's possible that one could even posit that they should have been saying Shirat Gishamim ready immediately, would say Yom Tov, and not wait till Zayin Mar Cheshvan. The Rosh was saying we should say Zayin Mar Cheshvan, not wait till Shishim Yom Tkufa, which is a long time later, the 5th of December. It's a difference of a month and a half or something. Now it's true that not all Rishonim are of this opinion, but we have sufficient Rishonim who tell us that this is a maskana of the Talmud. We saw that the Meiri brings three opinions, doesn't actually express a firm opinion. We see that the Ritva, after the same place where I quoted to you before, the Ritva, in his Chidushim and Daf Yod Amud Aleph, he says that the Talmud explains to us, but the sugya we discussed in Daf Dalad, Lema del olam travay ulahara hurban, vahalan vahalaho. Klomar, dahid rabban gamil lididan, brechus laris ditlan, pere bedabra, husmi bavir, shehike hanania, udrabi hanan, if ne eretz yisod, let laho, pere bedabra. The Talmud explained over there that in Bavel, where they're still gathering in the crops during the end of Tishrei and Mar Cheshvan, etc., till Shishim Yom Batzkufa, it's not good for them to have rain, and therefore they go like Hananiah, as we explained. But the Ritva goes on to explain. He says, "Mi shehageshamim tovim lahim," in those places where rain is positive and required and wanted, desired, immediately after the Chag, because we don't want it during Sukkot, we don't want it to rain during Sukkot, right? So we're not going to ask for rain in the middle of Sukkot. That's the view of Rabbi, that's the view of all the Tanaim. Rabbi Eliezer said we maskir geshamim from the beginning of Sukkot, but not that we ask for geshem. But Rabbi Yoshua said we even maskir only at the end, the last day. So the Ritva sums up, he gives a psak halacha. He says, Misha geshamim tovim lahim, lahara har la'altar, immediately, leth laho perebe dabra, and they haven't got their crops still being gathered in, and there's not wheat and other produce lying in the field that would be caused to rot or be otherwise ruined by rain. Not like in Bavel, in other words. Or sin ke eretz Yisrael was shalim miyad the motzei yom tov. So the Ritva is of this view also, that in Eretz Yisrael or other countries where rain is desirable and beneficial, immediately after the Chag, when there's no issue of Oler Galim, and there's no issue of crops that may be ruined, then you begin asking for these things immediately after the Chag. In other words, you ask for rain immediately after the Chag in Birkat HaShanim. Another Rishon who also states this explicitly is the Riaz. The Riaz is Rabbeinu Eliyahu, Rabbeinu Yishayahu Aharon, I'm sorry, Rabbeinu Yishayahu Aharon. This is the grandson of the Rid, and he writes, He writes as follows. This is in Perek Aleph or Piskei Ari'az, Halacha. Halacha, well, he says as follows. First of all, he explains that we ask for Geshem. We mention Geshem as Kirim Geshemim already the last day of the Chag. But we ask for rain depending on when it's required. So he says, Kesad, Be'eretz Yisrael bezman shebet ha-migdash kayam. In Eretz Yisrael the Migdash is kayam and there are all eregalim. Then we wait till Shivah Lamar Heshwan. That's the Bura Bangamiyad at least. The fact is in Yerushalmi it always follows a Stam Mishnah. So according to Yerushalmi, when there is a Beit Migdash, it would begin on Shloshah Lamar Heshwan. ובזמן שאין בית המקדש קיים, שאין עולה רגלים, מעת שמזכירים, מוריד הגשם בברכת תחיית המתים, שואלים, ותן תלמותה בברכת השנים, אחר יום טוב האחרון, מיד, כשמתפעלים תפילת חול. Alright, that's what the read says, that in Eretz Yisrael, when there's no מקדש, you begin immediately after the Chag. And this is also, by the way, the view of the Ran on the Rif, in Masechet Tanit, is all the same opinion. So we have several Shonim, we have the Riaz, we have the Ran, we have the Miri, brings this position, we have the Ritba. So we have four major Shonim, at least, who tell us that this is the correct thing to do. Which of course brings us to the question, why is this not being done by most people today? One answer, of course, would be to say that they're following those other posukim who were of the opinion that such as the Rambam, who indicates that you ask always b'zayin b'mar cheshwan. This is also apparently what we see from the Rif. This is what you find in the Shulchan Aruch, etc. So the technical answer is that people are following another shita. But the fact is that both Talmudim, Talmud Bavli and Talmud Yerushalmi, make it very clear that when there's no Mikdash, that's not how it's supposed to work, not supposed to work in that fashion. I think therefore the real answer is that we're talking here about the same kind of phenomenon that causes all kinds of strange practices amongst the Jewish people nowadays. Just as following a psak halacha or a minhag that does not fit the reality, it doesn't seem to bother people in many other contexts, such as the issue we've mentioned on many occasions, the Ashkenazi minhag of saying Yikum Purkan on Shabbat, blessing the Geonim and what have you in Bavel, who haven't existed for 1,000 years. And this doesn't seem to bother most people. I was told recently by someone that, well, it's not really a big issue, because in our shul, the Shliach Tzibur just says it, mumbles it quietly, no one actually hears what he's saying. Alright, well. Well, that's an interesting way of looking at it, but the fact is not, this doesn't change the fact that it's in the Siddur and it's being said. Whether it's being mumbled or being said clearly, whether people are actually noticing what's being said or they're busy talking to their neighbor, I don't know, but that doesn't change the fact. It doesn't make sense. It equally doesn't make sense to wait till Zayin Mar Heshwan to ask for rain, when we all know that we need rain, not today, yesterday. If it wasn't for the fact that it's going to be Sukkot soon, we'd be asking for rain already now. In fact, this year now, as we all know, in Eretz Yisrael, there's really been some rain earlier than, at least according to the Jewish calendars, earlier than you might expect. According to the Gregorian calendar, it's not so unusual, because it's already the end of September, the beginning of October. There can be some rain sometimes, and that's what's happened this year. Rain, at any rate, is very much needed, and there's absolutely no reason to put it off. So the practice of waiting till Zayin Mar Heshwan is anachronistic, and it flies in the face of what both Talmudim are telling us. And many Rishonim stress this point. It's true that not all the Rishonim say this, but even though the Rambam is not one of those who says it, but the Rambam does tell us in his Hakdama, as we've also mentioned before, that when you are faced with more than one opinion amongst the Geonim or the Rishonim, you follow the opinion that logic and proofs from the Talmud indicate is the correct view. This is clearly the correct view. If it says plainly, in no uncertain terms, that Rabbi Hanan was posek halacha b'makom shemaskirim shoalim, then who can come along and disagree with Rabbi Hanan? Does anyone claim that they have the authority to disagree with Rabbi Hanan? It doesn't make any sense. It doesn't fit the reality. It doesn't fit the facts. It doesn't fit normative halachic behavior when you have such a clear instruction in the both Talmudim what to do something different. It doesn't make any sense. The only way to view it, I think, therefore, is to recognize that we see before us an example of where halachic practice is somehow out of step with reality, or at least many people's halachic practice. I think it's clear that one may and should ask for rain already motzei chag, motzei shmini aseret, and one doesn't have to wait for anything. And I have no doubt that's the correct psak halacha. And there's no doubt this is what was done in Eretz Yisrael after the Churban. And there's no doubt that the Talmud Bavli admits and says as much. And we have many Rishonim to rely on for this psak halacha. What bothers me more, however, I must tell you, is not so much the fact, not only the fact, that the psak halacha that people are following is not rational or logical, or not following not in keeping with the requirements and needs of the Jews in Eretz Yisrael today. But the fact that it doesn't seem to bother anyone that it's not in line and keeping pace with reality. That to me is the bigger issue. The fact that some people, of course, don't know that this whole issue exists. They just do, like Shimon Yehuda says, they just do what it says in the Sidur. What the Gabbai, you know, when he claps the Bama or the Stender and he says, you know, Ten Talamotar, he knows he's supposed to start, so that's what he does. So some people just don't know, that's okay, but some people do know. Certainly Talmidei Chachamim supposedly know. So people have read these Sugiyot and read these Rishonim, and of course, I think there are many such people who have read it and know it, and yet they continue doing something which doesn't square with what they learned. In other words, this cognitive dissonance between what one understands to be correct and what one sees in the sources as being said and stated clearly as being correct, and what sits well in one's mind, in one's heart, this is the right thing to do, on the one hand, being able to recognize that on the one hand, I'm sure many people recognize that, many people who've learned these sugyot are aware of it, and then on the other hand, to get up and somehow wipe your mind clean of anything that you may have learned, or somehow manage to ignore it completely, and act differently in a manner which you yourself can't even rationalize to yourself, can't explain except for the statement, well, that's what it says in the Mishnah Berurah, or that's what it says in this book, or this is what so-and-so, Rabbi so-and-so said, shall we say. I think this is the real problem. The real problem is the fact that it doesn't seem to be a requirement in the eyes of many people that halakha makes sense. But halakha does have to make sense. Someone said to me just the other day that I was discussing a certain halachic issue with this person, and this person, I was trying to explain why a certain thing is as it is, and he said, I don't want to know why it is, I just want to know what I'm supposed to do. So I said to him, well, you have to understand, if you want to know what to do, you have to understand why it is. Otherwise you may not be doing the right thing. This is the danger that some of the Rishonim really pointed out, which exists. There is a certain danger in studying a book like the Rambam without knowing other sources, because one can read something the Rambam says sometimes, not always the case, but it can happen. One can read something the Rambam says and think it applies to your situation, but in fact it doesn't, because you don't understand, or you didn't follow, either the Rambam didn't fully explain, because he's being brief, or you misunderstood what the Rambam said, or you just don't have the knowledge to understand the rationale behind it, and therefore know that what the Rambam said here doesn't apply, or something he says in the next halacha is what applies to your situation, etc. At any rate, when one approaches any halachic discussion in the correct manner, that is to say, one learns it from the primary sources, from the Mishnah, and for Sefta, and the Talmudim, etc., it becomes very clear that this is the correct Psak Halacha in Eretz Yisrael today, is Lishol Geshamim, Miyad Mosei, Shmini Aseret, Miyad Mosei, Chag. In Chutz Laaretz, it's a question of the country in which one lives. I think most countries in Chutz Laaretz are not like Bavel. Bavel had its own unique, peculiar weather patterns and agricultural cycles, but that's not true of the United States, it's not true of France, it's not true of New Zealand. It's simply not true at all. They're not like Bavel in any way. So, the Shishim Yom B'Tkufa, to wait to ask for rain till the 5th of December, as the Rosh points out, he says it makes no sense whatsoever. The Rosh, by the way, also said the opposite, in the opposite direction. The Rosh said that in Eretz Yisrael, it's not required and not beneficial to have rain after Pesach, so that's why we stop asking for rain on Pesach. But in certain parts of Chutzlar, such as Spain, he writes, it's actually very necessary to have rain all the way till Shavuot. So here, he says, in Spain, where he lived the latter part of his life, he says, we should be asking for rain till Shavuot, not stop at Pesach, because the Mishnah, which said, you cease asking for rain, Shirat Geshamim, ends during Pesach, is because it was relating to the realities and the needs of the Jews in Eretz Yisrael, but not what goes on in Spain. So it all depends on where you are, where you live. And there are many posukim who hold this view, but again, the general practice is not that way. The general practice is to do something which doesn't make any sense. Now, to take another example, just to illustrate how illogical things can become, in the southern hemisphere where the seasons are reversed, I think all parts of the southern hemisphere, what people are told to do, which I think is clearly wrong, according to a very long list of posukim that one could mention, the Rosh and the Rambam and the Tor, and the list is very, very long indeed. People are told to say Shenath Geshamim, not according to where they live and according to the needs of their place, shall we say in Australia, where they in the middle of the winter, when they need rain, they're not asking for rain. They ask for rain at a time when Eretz Israel requires rain, but not when they need rain. Again, this has to do with a reluctance on the part of certain rabbanim who are asked. I don't think people weren't asked. Certain rabbanim were asked when Jews first arrived in Australia, 200 years ago. Anyway, what should they do? And they were told, just continue as you always did before. Which is an easy answer to give, because it doesn't require very much courage or thought, but it's not the right answer. The right answer is that you do according to the seasons and the patterns that exist over there. Obviously, in the southern hemisphere, the whole thing is reversed. So the summer of Eretz Yisrael is the winter over there, and they should be asking for rain in their winter, not near Israel's winter, because you're asking for panasa for yourself, for the country in which you live, because that's where you are right now. And this is a requirement. Not that you don't care about Eretz Israel, but you have to survive tomorrow. And Jews in Eretz Israel will ask for what they require, just as the Jews of Bavel didn't ask for rain for Eretz Israel, even because when they lived in Bavel, it was going to harm them. If it was going to harm them in Bavel, they didn't ask for rain. They asked for rain in Bavel when they needed rain. So I think there's two issues here, which are really two sides of the same coin. One is yir'atha hora'ah, in other words, a fear of giving a courageous, even though I actually see the great courage required, but some people apparently think it's courageous. An inability or an unwillingness to give a courageous and correct psak halacha for a new situation, and therefore simply by default continuing to do what you've done before, which is true of many, many issues, and these are just examples of that. And the fact that there seems to be a tremendous lack of intellectual honesty in this whole approach, that you can do things which cannot be rationalized, which do not make sense, which fly in the face of reason and your own requirements, in fact, but it somehow doesn't make a difference, because halakha ceases, apparently in some people's minds, in some people's eyes, halakha has ceased to have any real meaning and doesn't have to be connected to reality. It's just something that you do. It's some kind of a folklore. It's Jewish folklore. You know, this is what we do. Jews start saying Shnat Gesherim on the 5th of December. And why? Well, it doesn't matter. That's just what we do. It doesn't matter. This is what we do. Halakha doesn't have to make sense. Torah does not have to make sense. And this is, I think, a real tragedy. This is the real issue here. It's not. That is the much greater issue, rather than arguing about whether you should say it on this day or that day. Well, that's also an issue. But the underlying issue, which permeates an endless number of halachic discussions and Torah discussions, is: are we doing things that the Torah and the Chachamim directed us to do based on reason and based on applying the rules and the principles that Chazal indicated that we should be using, or have we reneged our responsibility as conscious and cognizant human beings with a brain and Talmidei Chachamim who know the sources and have the intellectual ability to master those sources and understand what needs to be done? There seems to be a general admittance that we just renege all our responsibilities and we'll just take the easiest course, the course of least resistance, which is to do what we did last year. So if last year we were in England and we said Shirat Gishamim on a certain date, now we're in Melbourne, we're going to do the same thing, whether it just happens to be 25,000 kilometers away and in the opposite season, well, that doesn't matter. And once you're on that track, there's almost nothing that cannot be rationalized. You can rationalize almost anything at all. You can take some wire on some poles and pretend it's a wall and say you can carry, because it's convenient. So if that's the ease, that's the path of least resistance. Or you can say that it makes a lot of sense to wear a fur hat in the middle of a Middle Eastern heat wave in the summer, because somehow it can be rationalized according to this approach. Or you can say that you can claim that you can that one poor Arab in Abu Ghosh can purchase all the chametz of all of the State of Israel, all its institutions throughout the world. And that somehow makes sense, because it's convenient, because it's the path of least resistance. Rather than dealing with real issues and making the Torah something that people can respect and will take seriously, the general perception, both of irreligious and also religious people, is that halakha, to a large extent, is a game. It's not real. It's a game. You want to carry it, well, we can organize it. Give us some wire and a few poles and we're in business. We've solved the problem. You don't want to get rid of your chametz, so we have a solution. We'll call up our friend Ahmed over here and he'll solve the problem for us. And we don't want to think too much about what we're supposed to do when it comes to Shirat Gishamim, which you wouldn't think is a big deal. It doesn't even involve getting rid of your bottle of scotch. It's a really simple issue. But nevertheless, it seems to be too much for certain people to take seriously, to make halakha real. So let's pretend we're in Bavel. So if you're in Chutzlars, people, or throughout Chutzlars, that's the practice today. Everywhere in Chutzlars, they start Shirat Gishamim, 5th of December. In Eretz Yisrael, everyone begins Zion Ar-Cheshwan. Neither of these things make sense. So the question is, do we wish to live a Yahadut that is some kind of a game, some kind of a show that we put on for ourselves and for others, and we claim that we're following these books and we're doing the right thing and we're from because this is what it says here and this is what we're doing, but at the same time we're actually, anyone who thinks for a moment can see through all that, see through the smoke screen very easily and internalize the message. The real message is that we don't really believe or take too seriously what we do. We do what we're used to doing. We're creatures of habit, and we like to do things that are convenient and not think about things too much. And that's not a very encouraging or very edifying way for the Torah and halakha to be viewed, because the halakha is simply an expression of the Torah. If that is the standard halakha, that means the Torah is that way. The Torah is understood that way, and the Torah is implemented and lived in that way, where you don't have to be real. It's a very, I think that's the real issue here, and something for everyone to think about. With those thoughts, I'll leave you and wish you all a Shana Tova and Hathima Tova. Yes, Rakesh.
Just to kind of echo that point that you were making, for a rather brief period, I had been for a couple of Shabbatoth, I went to a place in America which is I had relatives that lived there, so it was a rather, you'd say, radical modern Orthodox community. And in there, they had a woman there who calls herself an Orthodox feminist. She said something that was extremely telling. She said, when there's a halachic will, there's a halachic way. So when you talk about the idea of how you got rid of Shemitah through a magic halachic wand, got rid of the prohibition of keeping chametz in the house with the magic halachic wand, got rid of the prohibition of carrying on Shabbat with the magic halachic wand. So she says, well, take your magic halachic wand, make women rabbanim, have them be called up to the Torah, just wave your magic wand. It's halachic will, it's halachic way. Which I guess is the end game of such thinking.
I think you're correct. That's true.
So I'm going to ask the rabbi if there's a way to force the issue with the recognized gedolim so that maybe we can at least have an open discussion of the way halachot are reached, and at least we can open the discussion somewhat.
Once upon a time I was young and naive, and I thought that was a possibility. You're apparently still young enough, naive enough to think that out, but I know that's not possible. And I don't even think it's necessary. It's not necessary for us to feel that we cannot do what we believe to be and know to be correct because so-and-so doesn't yet agree. So-and-so doesn't agree, maybe he never will agree, and that can be one so-and-so or a million so-and-sos, it doesn't make a difference. If we know and understand clearly what it is we should be doing and what we want to do, therefore, we can just go ahead and do it. And nothing speaks louder than action. The Chinese have the expression that a picture is worth a thousand words. My version of that is one action is worth a thousand discussions. One minyan where something is done the right way. One person who does the right thing and is not afraid to let someone else he knows know that he does it that way. If you do things like a Murano in secret, and no one knows what you're doing, well, you may be doing the right thing, and you may feel good about that and quite justifiably so, perhaps. But you're preventing others having to deal with that fact. But if you let it be known, this is what I do. This is what this is what our rabbi says, this is what these posakim say, this is what the Gemara says, this is what we do. And we don't mind if you don't happen to agree, that's okay. So don't agree. We didn't ask you to agree. We're just going to do it the way it has to be done, to the best of our knowledge, to the best of our ability. That I think, is the more powerful statement. And if, like it says in the Gemara, you know, if Hashem sends a certain ruach tahara, La'olam, ikhshur darei, that the people, well, more and more people will begin to want to know why they're doing what they're doing, and if something doesn't make sense, they won't just somehow succeed in convincing themselves that it's okay, let's just go on and pretend we never notice that there's a problem here. If more and more people hear what's true and it makes sense to them and they begin to do it, then things will begin to change. I can't predict when that will be, I can't say how long it will take, but what makes a difference is the actual doing, the action, and not the discussion. I could write, and I might write an article about this. But I have no, and maybe the article will convince a few people, or maybe a dozen people, or maybe 50 people, or 100 people, to change what they do. I can't say for a fact. But I know that if in such an article it states there are minyanim, there are people who do this, that to most people is more powerful than all the arguments and all the quotes from the Ritva or the Meiri or from the Talmud Yerushalmi. That's all esoteric. But they know that people are doing something that's talks, that's reality. Reality talks louder than words. Actions speak louder than words. That's my approach. Okay, we'll stop here. Kol Tov, Shalom.